stand right beyond the auditorium. Help yourself if you want to give, or you can put it in the box, or just learn more about the Gideons. Okay, this is John 11:38 through 45. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." Then he had said to them, Jesus, when he had said this to them, Jesus called in his loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, and his hands and his feet were wrapped in strips of linen and cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." The plot to kill Jesus. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. Cecil?
I'm a Satanist. I follow Lord Satan. Don't leave. That's what a young university student said as he spoke with a team of Gideons who were distributing New Testaments. And he was from Mexico City. And so he took one of the Testaments. He didn't know what he really had, but he looked at it. And then he became very angry and enraged. He continued to shout and taunt the Gideons that were there. Finally, he told them that he'd show them what he thought of the book, so he pulled out his little cigarette lighter and he attempted to burn that little testament. As hard as he tried, for several minutes, it wouldn't burn. He quieted down a little bit, and then he became afraid. He left, and about 15 minutes later, he came back and apologized to the Gideons for the way he treated them. And he realized that that book must be some kind of a supernatural book. So the men began to witness to him and shared with him. And after several minutes, he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Well, the story doesn't end there. There were three of his friends that were watching what had taken place. And as they watched and as the ex-Satanists left, the three boys approached the Gideons and said, "We've got some questions. We know that guy is a Satanist. And it looked like that he was praying." The Gideons said, "Yes, that's correct." And so they said, "Well, what caused all this to take place?" And he said, "Well, let us share with you." So they shared with those three, and they too gave their hearts to Jesus. You know, it's interesting how the testimonies that we hear constantly that come into Gideon's International impact the lives of many individuals who do not know Christ as Lord and Savior. And so new life does begin when one accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior. Many of you are familiar with the Gideons, and most, I guess, you understand most is the Bibles that are placed in the hotels and motels, but I can assure you Gideon's International is a lot more than that. Since 1899, in our beginning, our objective has been to win men, women, boys, and girls the relationship of Jesus Christ. But not only that, it's for individuals who become Gideons to strengthen their spiritual walk as well. And so if anybody here this morning is interested in becoming a Gideon, we'd be most happy to talk with you after the service. We encourage, as Gideons, we're encouraged to give out a little personal testament once a week, and that's for the Gideons as well as the auxiliary members. And you're talking a powerful little book. This is it. This is what we call a personal worker's testament. In the beginning, there's 34 different areas that an individual might want to seek scripture to help them in a time of need. And in the back is their plan of salvation. And so we use that quite often. Today, we're in over 200 countries, possessions, and territories. We publish scriptures in 109 different languages. And so as we go about presenting God's word, it's amazing what can happen and how it happens. It's interesting, since 1908, we started giving out Bibles in hotels, and since then, we have distributed to date over 2.5 billion copies of God's word around the world. Some people sometimes say, well, does everybody read those scriptures? Or does anybody read those scriptures except Christians? Well, let me share a story with you. Herbert Oplak was a rabbi of all rabbis. With three earned Ph.D. degrees, and he was on the faculty of Harvard Divinity School and the dean of the largest rabbinical school in Brooklyn, New York. As a child, he had a talent for languages. And by the time he was 13, Herbert had memorized the entire Torah, if you can imagine. He also was very fluent in Latin, Greek, and Aramaic. And he studied the New Testament in original languages so that his words were traveled around the world. But he's not exactly one you'd put on the top 10 list of someone becoming a Christian. But God had a plan for his life. He was in Boston on a fundraising trip with a rabbinical school when Delta Airlines lost his luggage. He went to the hotel. He was bored. He was frustrated. And he began pulling drawers open, and sure enough, there was a Gideon Bible, and his thought was, well, I thought it would probably be there. So he picked it up, and he began reading in John. As he read the third chapter, he encountered Jesus in a special way. As a result of that, I guess it was Rabbi Nicodemus that kind of caught his eye, and he began to read. And it's unto a man to be born again. He cannot seek to enter the kingdom of heaven unless a man is born of water and of the Spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. So something remarkable happened. He says, I can't explain it, but he says, I sat there and read. He said, tears began to swell up in my eyes. And he said, all of a sudden, I began shaking. He said, my mind frantically moved backwards and forwards. And he said, I don't know what happened, but he said, somewhere, God's Spirit entered my life. He said, I got down on my hands and knees and prayed, and I gave my heart to Jesus. And so not only did Rabbi Oplak become a pastor, he was now Reverend Herbert. He ran a rescue mission in Merced, California. And he did that for a number of years until he died here a few years ago. So yes, other people than Christians do read God's word. 80% of the scriptures that we give to people are given to students, fifth graders up through college age. And that 80% is a large number. But Gilead Zapid received a testament from the Gideons at Engineering University in Peru. And as he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior, he eventually got a job in engineering, in petroleum, in a southern village in Peru. That strengthened his faith, but also in that village was a stronghold of witches and warlocks. kind of a satanic community again. His pastor told Gilly that he would be the first missionary going from his church to share Bibles, and he prepared him to lead Bible studies. So once he finished school, he decided to put out a little shingle. He put out, "Mining engineer gives free Bible lessons." Nothing happened. So one day, it began to rain very hard in that country there, and his little shack, water began to run in, and he started getting the bucket to bail water out the front door. And in doing so, a little dingy, mangy dog ran into his shack and picked up a little testament he had there, put it between his teeth, and took off running. Gilly took after him. And he ran and ran and chased the dog, and it finally ended up, the little dog ran into the shack of one of the warlocks. He decided not to pursue that, so he gave up and turned around and went back. About 2 weeks later, he got a little knock at the door, and it was the witch doctor. And he said, Gilly, "I've heard about your Bible lessons, and I wanted to learn more about God's Word," because he said, strange, one evening this little dog came running into my hut with a little book between his teeth. And he said, "I began to read it." And he said, "I began to understand that there's sin of idolatry." And he said, "There's something missing in my life, and I know I need something. Can you help me?" Gilly showed him the amazing love and forgiveness of God, and the warlock accepted Jesus as well as his entire family. New life can begin. Here in the United States, we're very active in sharing testaments with college students, and many of those become future leaders. One was Randy Bork, a student at Brockport College in New York, was offered a testament, again, from the Gideons. And as kind of things go, he said, "Yeah, whatever." And so Randy had been raised in a Christian home, but he got involved in drugs and alcohol, and his life began to change dramatically in the wrong direction. About 3 months later, Randy hit rock bottom. He started reading that little testament, and it took him about a month, but he finally kept reading. He read all the way through. And when he got to the plan of salvation in the back of that book, Randy gave his heart to Jesus. He went on to got a job with the Eastman Kodak Company and traveled over four different years and moving around in the country. And his son, in the meantime, also became a pastor. But as he traveled around the world, sharing with members of Gideon's how they can continue to grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ, Randy, as a business leader, was also really a true witness for Christ. The thing that might amaze you is we are very interested in youth. As I indicated, 80% of the testaments and Bibles that we give away go to young people. Several years ago, the Gideons, here and across our country, it's sad to say, but we're not able to get into schools and like we used to. So we initiated a new program called the Life Book. And that little life book is based on the Gospel of John. There's two of them. And one of them, the Gospel of Mark. And those little life books are given to the churches through the pastors or youth directors to give to students that they can give to their peers in schools. We can't get in the schools, but as the students there can pass the life books out to those of their peers as they go to school day to day. We are excited in that program. It started in 2010, and since that time we've distributed over 50 million copies of the little life books to students to give to their peers at no cost to the church whatsoever. We also have doors open in other countries in Asia, where one of every three people live in the world. Particularly in India, they're radical Hindus, The doors are open in India now, but they could be closing at any time, but the real need is there. We currently have 25,000 Gideons and auxiliary members in India, and we just pray that those doors will continue to stay open. But the thing that's interesting is because so many people in India are Muslim and Hindu, it presents a challenge to us because now the doors are beginning, appears to be barred perhaps because of the torture and so forth that is being brought upon those Christians in India. But still we're open. In southern India, the rains come heavily in October through December, and there was often great flooding. There was a little 12-year-old girl, Katharji, who lived in that area. A great flood came and destroyed their home. And unbeknownst to her, as she waded through the flooded waters, she hit a live electric wire. She was knocked unconscious, and everyone thought she was dead. But the family was desperate, and they could do nothing but weep at that point in time. But her older sister had received a few days earlier a New Testament from the Gideons. And she had read in there where the man had paralyzed man had been lowered through the roof and was healed. And she shared that story with her parents. And as they continued to grieve, and they heard that story, they decided that maybe they should pray. As they did, Carthage, amazing, was brought back to life. The family was so excited and rejoiced that they gave their life to Jesus. The whole family is now Christian. As we continue to receive Bibles, I can't imagine it's probably not three or four Bibles in each of your homes. But it amazes me as how it's so easy for us to get a Bible, and it's hard to understand how a precious copy of God's Word can mean so much to those individuals in other countries that have never had a Bible. A few years ago, Gideon was traveling to the Philippines, and he began to pass out Testaments there in some of the poorest parts of that country, and many of the teachers expressed to the Gideons that that was the first book that these children would ever own. And then there were other teachers that said this is the first book that they ever own, but it's also the book that we will teach them to read by. For us, it seems so every day, but to other countries, it's amazing. And so his question was, after that, he says, how soon will we get back? Who will go? And then the question is, the need is greater. So how will we do it? So it's through the contributions and help of the churches that we share with about our ministry and what we're doing. And so, as indicated, there's a bulletin in the back if you haven't already picked up one explaining a little bit more about our ministry and what we're doing. So God leads us to give in various ways. That little testament that I showed you, the bulletin says $1.20, and like everything else, it's gone up a little bit. It's about $1.40, but for $1.40, you can purchase one of those little testaments that a child who's never had a book can have an opportunity to have not just a book, but a copy of God's Word. This morning, as you look at those inserts, you also might notice in there many ways that you can give through the Gideon Ministry. And one is through Gideon cards, and you have a card rack in the entrance as you come in. The card program allows you to give funds in memory or in honor of an individual, a loved one, and you can send your donations to the Gideons and then a card to the individual expressing your concern or their love or sympathy or whatever. But with a $5 donation, it will buy a whole Bible, and for that $5 donation, will buy about four New Testaments. If you're interested in becoming a part of the what we call the Friends of the Gideons, you can join us in that regard. It allows you to become financially an opportunity and also fulfilling the mission of Gideons. And so we encourage you to consider that. You also have the availability of getting little small testaments that we give out that have the helps in the front and the plan of salvation in the back. And so it's a very easy way for you to keep up with the Gideons and what we're doing internationally. If you're a professional man and are interested in becoming a part of the Gideons, and your spouse, be most happy to talk to you after the service. We don't twist arms. We feel like that if you're interested in becoming a part of this association, that you see it as a calling of God to His work that needs to be done. I'd like to thank Pastor Kevin for inviting me today and for allowing me to share a little bit with you, the congregation, and I appreciate your attention. And if you have questions after the service, I'll be glad to talk with you. But I can assure you, God is doing a great work in His ministry through the Gideons International. And I've just been excited to be a part of the Gideons since about 2002 and continue to serve Him in the best way I can, that others may come into relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God bless you.